Announcements are a wonderful thing, aren't they? Announcements to announce the birth of a child, announce that somebody's pregnant, announce that somebody's getting engaged or that there's been a marriage. Announcements are awesome things. However, announcements can oftentimes go a little haywire. And I have some examples of those. These are announcements that are taken from actual church bulletins. And I'm sure some of you maybe have heard some of these before. Let me share some of these. These are actual announcements taken from actual church bulletins. Not from this church, because, you know, we just don't mess up in what we do here. So, no, I'm teasing you. But these are from actual church bulletins. Thursday night, potluck supper, prayer and medication to follow. I think they meant to say meditation. Remember in prayer the many who are sick of our church and community. For those of you who have children and don't know it, we have a nursery downstairs. This afternoon there will be a meeting in the south and north ends of the church. Children will be baptized at both ends. Tuesday at 4 p.m. there will be an ice cream social. All ladies giving milk will please come early. I didn't make these up, so, all right. Wednesday, the ladies' liturgy will meet. Mrs. Johnson will sing Put Me in My Little Bed, accompanied by the pastor. Thursday at 5 p.m., there will be a meeting of the Little Mothers Club. All ladies wishing to be little mothers will meet with the pastor in his study. That was a real big mess up there. Next Sunday, a special collection will be taken to defray the cost of the new carpet. All those wishing to do something on the new carpet will come forward and do so. The ladies of the church have cast off clothing of every kind. They can be seen in the church basement Saturday. A bean supper will be held on Tuesday evening in the church hall. Music will follow. Yes, it certainly will. At the evening service tonight, the sermon topic will be, What is Hell? Come early and listen to our choir practice. Ladies, don't forget the rummage sale. It's a chance to get rid of those things not worth keeping around the house. Don't forget your husbands. At the sermon this morning, Jesus walks on the water. The sermon tonight, searching for Jesus. Couple more, all right? Bear with me. I haven't put anybody to sleep yet, have I? Okay. Barbara remains in the hospital and needs blood donors for more transfusions. She's also having trouble sleeping and requests tapes of Pastor Jack's sermons. The pastor would appreciate it if the ladies of the congregation would lend him their girdles for the pancake breakfast next Sunday morning. Little typo on that one. All right. Good announcements. Gone bad. Gone very bad. But this morning I want to talk about one of the greatest announcements that were given that didn't get messed up. And I want to look at the elements of this announcement. I want to look at three things. And you can turn with me to Luke chapter 2. What I want to look at this morning is the recipients of the announcement. I want to look at the reason for the announcement and the reaction to the announcement. Three things we're going to look at this morning. The recipients of the announcement, the reason for the announcement, and the reaction to this announcement. Luke chapter 2, and we're going to be starting in verse 8. And it says there, Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would add your blessing to this word. We thank you for the importance of this word and for the treasure that it is to us today. And I ask that this morning, as we are reading through it and studying your word, that this whole story that we sometimes just maybe take for granted would again come to life to us. And we would see this wonderful announcement that was given and the importance of it in that day, but also the relevance of it to us today. And apply your word now upon our hearts, Jesus, we ask in your name. Amen. Who were the recipients of this most awesome announcement that was given some 2,000 years ago? Well, it says that there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields. And it says that, behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. The first announcement of the Savior's birth after he was born. Remember that an angel came to Joseph, came to Mary, and told them that they would have a child. But now Jesus is born, and the first announcement that's given of his birth, what a wonderful thing it is to do when you have a baby. And you just grab that phone, you want to call everybody you know and say, man, I just had a baby boy, I just had a baby girl. That was awesome. Man, you just want to shout it. And Arlene, you were there in the delivery room when we had Madison. And you were somewhere far away, but you could hear me yelling, couldn't you? Oh, it was exciting. It was awesome. And I wanted to grab the phone and call everybody I could. And it's awesome to announce that. And the first announcement after Jesus was born came to these shepherds who were out in the countryside. Now, this was a very peculiar group to give the first announcement to give such an incredible word to. Why would they come to shepherd people? Shepherds were seen as outcasts. They were seen as second rate, basically, lower class than the rest of the people in the country, and especially in the eyes of the Israel nation. They were seen as just, you know, you don't want to have anything to do with those guys. They're shepherds. They're looking after sheep and whatnot. They're dirty. Because of what their job required of them, they were oftentimes viewed as being unceremonially clean or being ceremonially unclean. And because their work demanded much of their time, oftentimes they were not able to go into the temple regularly to offer up the sacrifices that the Jewish nation were to do. And so that only, of course, prolonged their time of being ceremonially unclean, is what people would perceive them to be. They were third class, on a different plane altogether than the rest of the people there in the country. They were lowly shepherds. Morris, the commentator, says this: as a class, shepherds had a bad reputation. More regrettable was their habit of confusing mine with thine. And as they moved about the country, they were considered unreliable and were not allowed to give testimony in the law courts. So they weren't able to even go and give testimony because people thought, you can't trust those people. They would go and confuse mine with thine. What's that? Oh, I like that. That's mine, isn't it? Sure, I'll take that and let's move on. No, that was mine. You're taking my stuff there. No, I think that's... And so they would just go and take what they could find. And they had a bad rap among them. Bad reputation. These were definitely not the kind of guys that you would expect to be given such an incredible heavenly message, such an awesome announcement. These are not the guys that you'd expect to receive this first announcement of the baby Christ's birth. But what does this tell us about God's heart towards us? What does this tell us about who God is? Well, it tells us that he does not favor those who are wealthy or those that might be successful or who have made a name for themselves in the eyes of the world. God does not favor those kinds of people. Luke chapter 1 verse 51 to 53 says this: he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, Paul says, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. He has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the wise. That's what that verse says. And here's the beauty of this all, guys, as I want to relate this to us today, is that God loves you. God has a plan for you. He wants you to be a part of His work. You. No matter what your background is, no matter how other people view you, no matter how you view yourself, you might be the worst critic of your own self, of your own life. Oh, I'm nothing. Oh, man, I don't know why anybody would want to talk to me. I don't know why anybody would want to love me. I'm just a scumbag. And you might beat yourself up, but let me tell you this. God will never come and lay that kind of rap on you, because He loves you and you are important in His eyes. And we see that right from the beginning of this first announcement given. The baby Jesus, He came and gave it to an unexpected group of shepherds. The rest of the people could have been sitting there going, what? Why them? How come them? And you know what? It just goes to show us that God has included all of you in His plan. No matter where you've come from, no matter what you've done, no matter who you are, man, God has a purpose for you. And I think that is pretty incredible to know. That the God of this universe desires to just relate to us and have a relationship with us. The shepherds were the recipients of this announcement. What was the reason for the announcement? It was to share God's heart and will to the world. Well, what is His will to the world? What is His heart for us? A few things, I think, that we see in the Word this morning. First of all, to bring peace. Secondly, to bring joy. To bring a Savior into the world. And fourthly, to bring the world to the Savior. What's the first thing that we see here? To bring peace? In verse 10, the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid." Guys, don't be afraid. Could you imagine what these shepherds were like? All of a sudden this angel comes and appears to them. They've never seen anything like this. In fact, they would never, ever be expecting anything like this to happen. A heavenly messenger comes with an incredible announcement. I think these guys were barely able to stand. Their knees were probably knocking. They were freaked out, thinking, oh man, they're coming to finally wipe us out. We've got a bad rap, and now they're coming just to take us away. Oh man, maybe they're trying to hide. I don't know. But the angel says, hey guys, don't be afraid. Don't worry. I come giving a wonderful message, a message of peace. And that is God's heart for us. That's God's will, is to bring peace. It's a common refrain during the holiday season, isn't it? Oh, peace on earth, goodwill to men. We like to rattle that off. We see that written all over the place, storefronts, things of that. Peace on earth. Many people, I think, truly want to achieve this and experience it. They want to know peace. But people are living lives that are filled with worry, with fear, with stress, and so on. They are not experiencing peace. People may experience a kind of peace, but yet not truly be tapped into the peace of God. Because that is something that's quite different altogether. People might be living and say, oh, I've got peace. I'm wealthy. I've got all these things around me. I've got a nice family. I feel at peace. But they may be lacking that experience of the peace of God in their hearts, which is very different, people. It's very different than the peace that the world wants to manufacture. Peace of God is knowing His grace and His mercy, His love that He desires to shed abroad in your hearts. That's what the peace of God is, knowing His grace and mercy. Paul said many times in his epistles, grace and peace to you. They were kind of those Siamese twins that Paul liked to use. Throughout his epistles, he'd oftentimes open up a letter that way and close his letter that way. Grace and peace to you. But notice what comes first all the time. grace. He always said grace before peace. Why? Because you cannot know the peace of God until you first of all experience and know the grace of God. As believers today, when we come and experience the grace of God and understand that He loves us and He sent His Son to die on a cross for us while we were yet sinners, we had no part, there was nothing that we could do. Going to church didn't make us right. Reading the Bible didn't make us right. Living a good life didn't make us right. It was all about what Christ did for us on the cross. And when we all of a sudden realize that it's simply the grace of God, not because of what I've done, but because of what He's done, and you experience His grace, what happens? All of a sudden, condemnation just begins to be wiped away. Because we can oftentimes say, oh, I'm not good enough. Oh, I failed. Oh, man. And we condemn ourselves. But when we realize that all we have to do is come to the Lord and ask for His forgiveness, and when we confess our sins, it says that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And man, I tell you, that is awesome stuff, because the condemnation that we oftentimes like to heap on ourselves just goes out the window when we experience His grace. And when we experience His grace and condemnation ceases, oh, the peace of God just floods our heart, doesn't it? Isn't that an incredible thing? We have to experience the grace of God and know His love before we can know the peace of God. Jesus said to His disciples in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives it do I give to you." He says, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Living lives with Jesus in our hearts and a trust in Him brings a peace that surpasses all understanding, as Philippians 4:7 says. With Him in our hearts, there's a peace that will surpass all understanding. You ever experience somebody or know somebody that loves the Lord and something tragic happens to them, yet there's just this calm, this peace that transcends their hearts, and you think, how can you do that? How can you be like this in this situation? Well, can't understand it. That person may not be able to understand it, but it's the peace of God in their hearts that just surpasses, it just goes beyond our reasoning. And that's His heart and His will for us, is for us to know His peace. The angel said to these shepherds, don't be afraid. I bring you good news. I bring you good tidings of great joy. That's the second thing, the reason for this announcement, was to bring joy. The angel announced this incredible good news and said it was a great joy. God desires that we experience His peace, and an outcome of that is going to be what? Joy. Man, when you begin to experience His peace, when you all of a sudden realize, I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be worried. I don't have to be under condemnation. Oh man, you just want to start jumping up and down and getting excited. All of a sudden there's a joy about you, because you realize, God, You're so good. Jesus, You're awesome. You're wonderful. Man, you get excited. And it's not to say that it's simply an outward action all of a sudden, that when we're walking with the Lord, it's all about our outward actions. Oh, that person's not jumping as high as he was yesterday. I guess he's not joyful anymore. No, that's not what we have to say. That's not what we have to think. When we come in contact with the wonder of God, it's going to set our hearts ablaze with excitement and joy. Psalm 16:11 says this, "In Your presence is fullness of joy." Romans 15:13, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." And 1 Peter 4:13, "When His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." When we come into the presence of God, there is going to be a joy. Once again, it's not a joy that the world can manufacture. It's not a joy, as I said earlier, that's dependent upon our circumstances. We're all of a sudden we're jumping around and everything's great, and then there might be a kind of a calm about us, and we don't have to look at that person and go, oh boy, that person, he's lost that joy. No. It's a joy that is lasting despite our trials. Why? Because we abide with a Savior who is constant, who is consistently near us. And so that never changes. We abide with Him, and in His presence is fullness of joy, it says. And so that joy, whether we're jumping up and down, whether we're going through the fieriest of trials, whether we're just getting beat up around us, or whether things are great, it's a joy that can remain because we abide with the Savior of the world. And He is faithful. And His love is consistent towards us. It's a joy that can remain. And that's what the angel brought to the shepherds, says, I bring you good tidings of great joy. This is good news. If you're ever feeling down and you walk around with just this gloomy look on your face, so you ever see Christians like that? I mean, it just looks like they've been baptized in pickle juice or something. They're just, you know, I'm thinking, man, come on. I think all we have to do is go back to the beginning here and realize what the good news is. Good news that a Savior came into the world, washed my sins away. I can walk with Him and abide in Him and have life in His name. Wait a second. Those things that I was frustrated about and worried about and stressed about, they don't seem as big anymore. And let that joy in your heart be constant, people. Because He is constant. Amen? Thirdly, third reason for the announcement, we've seen it's to bring peace, to bring joy. Thirdly, it's to bring a Savior to the world. This is what we need to celebrate more than anything else during the Christmas season. Simply this, that a Savior has come. A Savior, one that has saved us from the penalty of sin. We all at one time were condemned because of sin. We were born into that. We couldn't help it. But somebody has come and saved us from that. The angel said to them in verse 11, For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ, meaning the Messiah, the promised Messiah that would come. He is the Christ, the Lord. A Savior has come. The world at this time, man, it was riddled with wars. It was riddled with fighting in the Roman Empire. There was political and social unease and unrest. It was just chaotic. People were looking for something to come, for someone to come to be a Savior for them. The world then was in need of a Savior. And the world today is in need of a Savior. Not only one that can deliver us from our chaos around us, but more importantly, one that can deliver us from our sinful state. And that's the wonder of this great announcement. A Savior has come. And all we have to do is believe in Him and receive Him into our life. And we can encounter that saving grace in our lives. People today, they're feeling lost, without hope. But all they need to do is turn to the Savior of the world. And it is this that will bring freedom. Freedom from sin and condemnation. Fourthly, the reason for the announcement, to bring people to the Savior. Not only to bring a Savior into the world, but to bring people to the Savior. What did the angels say next to them? They said, And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. In other words, here He is. He's going to be in a manger. He's going to be wrapped in swaddling clothes. Go and see Him. The angel didn't want to just tell them about a Savior. He wanted to lead them to the Savior. Jesus has sent the Holy Spirit today into the world to draw us to Him. You know why? Because we're pretty feeble in ourselves, aren't we? We oftentimes get lost. And we can't find our way. We don't like to ask for directions. No, that's okay. I'll be all right. You know, we just do circle after circle, U-turn after U-turn. Arlene's experienced that. This is my mother-in-law here, if you haven't met her. It's good to have you here. And she's been driving around with me a couple. We went to Victoria yesterday and lit at some Christmas nights the other day. And I don't know if she's going to set foot in a car with me that I'm driving again, because I don't know if it was a great experience for her. But, man, we were getting lost, couldn't find our way. It was a real struggle. And you know what? That can be the same way in people's lives today. Man, they can be getting lost. It can be a real struggle. But Jesus says, you know what? I want to make this easy for you. I'm going to send my Spirit into the world that will draw you. He will come alongside you. And He will draw you and lead you to Me, to the Savior of the world. It's that wooing process that takes place. And you ever wonder, you know, some people where they just are maybe so hard. They don't want anything to do with it. And then all of a sudden one day someone just turns. They just led and they encounter the Savior of the world. And it changes their life. It's awesome. But we've been given direction. Jesus says in John 6:44, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." It's a mystery that so many choose not to receive this incredible gift. It's a gift of peace, gift of joy, a gift of having a Savior in their lives. We are brought right to it, but unfortunately, oftentimes, hard hearts do prevail. But this announcement was given to show God's heart, to show His peace, to show His joy, to show that there is a Savior that has come, but also to lead us to the Savior. And I pray that this Christmas season we might be led to the whole reason of it all, that we might be led to the Savior. Not just this cute baby that's in a manger, as precious as that is, but led to the Savior who grew up, who died on a cross, who took our sins upon His shoulders. The sins of the entire world was put in a grave and again wrapped up. This picture of this baby in swaddling clothes, man, it kind of bookends the life of Christ, doesn't it? Because after they took Him off the cross, they wrapped Him up again there in the tomb. He came into the world. They wrapped Him up. Kind of bookends His life. And I don't want to remember just the Savior there in the manger, but I want to remember what He did for me on the cross. How He was put in the tomb, but 3 days later rose again. And I pray that we might be led this Christmas season to that Savior. And that we might encounter Him in a special and real way. So, the reason for the announcement. Number three today, I want to look at the reaction to the announcement. What was the response of these guys? What was their reaction to it all? Well, look at verse 13. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" And then, down in verse 20, the shepherds returned. This is after they had already seen the baby in the manger. It says that they returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. What's the first response we see? Praise. That was the reaction, not only from the heavenly host. What a scene that would have been. Could you imagine that? Seeing the heavenly host angels there, a multitude of angels, singing out, "Glory to God in the highest." Just praising Him. Oh, that would have been incredible. Man, I would have loved to have been there. But the shepherds as well, they returned from all they had seen and they were praising God. Man, they were excited when they encountered the Savior of the world. And their reaction to it all was just praise. Just praising God. Have you ever had someone just do something so awesome for you, so incredible to you, that you just can't thank them enough for what they've done? Man, you just want to follow them around. "Oh, thank you. This person is awesome, man. I love that guy." You just want to, you know, lift them up because they've just helped you out or they've done something so awesome for you. And you just want to make it known. Well, you know what? That should be our attitude, shouldn't it? Towards Jesus. Man, He's done so much. And I want to, every chance I get, just to exalt His name, to magnify Him, to make Him known, to praise Him, because He is worthy of our praise. He's so worthy of it. And I am ashamed because I don't take enough time to do that. But I pray that that might be my heart, be my attitude. Just to have praise continuously upon my lips for the One that has made such an incredible difference in my life. The second response or reaction to this announcement was passion. First of all, praise. Secondly, it was passion. What do we see there in verse 15? "That so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go. We got to go now. Let's go to Bethlehem.' and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And then in verse 16 it says, and they came with haste. In other words, they came quickly. They didn't, you know, waste any time. They said, let's go now to Bethlehem. Some of them might have thought, well, we got, you know, we really should get our sheep into their, you know, barns or whatnot, into the caves. We better, you know, tend to these guys first. Don't want anything to happen to them. You know, maybe on the way, could we stop just through a drive-thru? I'm a little bit hungry. Can we just get something to eat? You know, well, I didn't get a present from my mom. Can we stop at the mall, maybe? Just on our way? It's not going much out of our way. No, these guys said, let's go now. Let's drop everything and go. There was also a passion that was being stirred in their hearts for the Savior of the world. And they wanted nothing more than to go and see Him. To go and experience all that they had been told by this angel. All that this announcement had proclaimed to them. Let's go now. There was a passion. Their enthusiasm and excitement, it revealed a new passion that drove their hearts and was the Savior of the world. Is it Jesus Christ and His love which compels us, which drives us? Is He the passion in our lives? And I pray that God would give me, I pray that God would give you a passion for Him that puts all things on hold for the purpose of seeking Him. All other things can wait. It's time to go and seek the Lord. Everything else can be dropped. I pray that might be our focus, that might be our passion. I can be passionate about many things. I can be very passionate about golf. You see my little reindeer golfing on my tie here. But you know what? I want my sole passion to be Jesus Christ and my walk with Him, serving Him. It's not always easy. I'm not telling you that it is. But when we reflect on all that He's done for us, on who He is, man, it's so much more worthwhile than anything else we can put our focus towards. Jesus Christ is so much more worthwhile than anything else. He's all that we need. I pray that He would be our passion, our focus. Well, the reaction was praise. It was passion. Thirdly, it was powerful witness. Verse 17, now when they had seen Him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. What did these guys do? Did they go and see the baby Jesus in the manger and go, man, that's pretty cool. That's pretty awesome. Well, okay, we do need to go back and tend to our sheep now, tend to our flocks there in the countryside, in the hills. Let's go. Did they just go and return and just kind of keep everything to themselves? No way. Are you kidding me? They couldn't contain it all. What they saw was so powerful. They were so passionate about what they'd encountered that it resulted in a powerful witness, a powerful testimony, because they came back and made widely known the saying which was told them. And all those that heard it marveled. All those things that the shepherds told, remember, these were the guys that couldn't even give testimony in a court of law. But now they were saying, you know what, I don't care what our reputation says about us, we are going to make this known. And people were marveling at what they were saying. There was something different here. There's a change in their lives. There was something of importance here in what they were saying. There was truth that was being spoken. And they had a powerful witness. They didn't care that they're already damaged. Reputation might suffer even more. They didn't sit there and go, you know, what are people going to think of me if I begin to tell them about this little baby and who was born in a manger? He's supposed to be the Savior of the world, yet he's born and he's in his feeding trough for a bed? What are people going to think? That sounds kind of strange. What are people going to think about me if I begin to tell them about these things? Did they care about that? No. They said, man, we're getting this word out. This is incredible. This is awesome. They had found the one thing that made a difference in their lives. And they weren't going to keep it to themselves. It was worth telling. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is Lord. Great song we like to sing at this time of year. when we encounter the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, I hope that it would cause us to share Him with other people. And may we be powerful witnesses in this world that needs to hear the good news. May we make that announcement known, that Jesus Christ has come into this world. What an announcement it is. Let's pray. Ryan, can you just go and get the kids to come in here at this time? Thanks. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this awesome story we read in the Word. Not just a story, not just a fable, but Lord, this is fact. Lord, You came, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, into just a humble beginning, born there in a manger. Humble beginnings for such an awesome Lord. And Lord, we thank You for this announcement that was given. We see the recipients of it, the shepherds who didn't seem like much, but Lord, You value people's lives. No matter who they are, what they've done, thank You, Lord, that You love us. And Lord, the reason for this announcement, to bring Your peace, to show joy in You, to show that a Savior's come into the world, but also to draw us to You. Lord, we thank You for that. And we thank You, God, for this awesome announcement. And may we have that same kind of reaction as these shepherds had, that of praise, passion, and a powerful witness. Lord, may we apply these things to our lives today. You are awesome, and it is You that is going to make a difference in our lives. May we this holiday season encounter You in a special way, Jesus. Not just a one-time thing, but may it be ongoing, may it be a walk, may it be a lifestyle. May we abide in You, Jesus. Thank You that You give us the opportunity to do that. We love You so much.